our guest for the remaining part of the hour. We have Senator Jeff Wilson, 19th Legislative District. He serves part of Cowlitz, Grays Harbor, Lewis, Pacific, and Wakayakum counties. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Johnny, and happy Friday, everybody. But I have to correct you real quick. I also serve now. We serve part of the Thurston County area, as the McClary city of town of McClary is now in our coverage.
Oh, nice. So, okay, I just got this hot off the press. They passed rent control?
Yes. Yesterday in the Senate, we, of course, worked our version of the rent control, a.k.a. rent stabilization. But the end result is we kicked out a product yesterday that now we're sending the bill back to the House. And then essentially, on a very close vote by only one vote, carried it through. It caps the annual rent increases at 10%. Not the lower 7% where this kind of started at, and that, of course, it was a very tense moment yesterday here in the Senate as we send that back. So I, you know, it's kind of like a hot potato back at the House, and you know, for your listeners here, Johnny, it's incredibly important that this type of legislation, regardless of the details of it, this is the first of a kind that the state has ever even gone down this road. So it's all new. I don't know if it's exciting, but it's new enough to be aware that we passed a bill yesterday that hasn't been practiced. So everybody has their theories on how it's going to work out and consequences. But we do know that most rent control and stabilization projects throughout the states or other areas have, well, essentially failed. And they failed because they did result in less available units and rent will go up. And that's troubling because now landlords can raise the rent to 10% every year. And I would assume that there's a potential up and away coming to a rental near you. And I'm deeply concerned, Johnny, because everybody, you know, housing is a crisis in the state. And I definitely have concerns that this bill will relieve that crisis.
So if they raise property taxes and then do this, like, explain to me how this is supposed to help.
Well, there you go, Johnny, telling the truth again. That's the dual consequence I'll offer to your listeners. It's not that the Senate and the House are trying to stabilize or control somewhat rents. But if you control that, the legislation that's out there regarding property tax is uncontrolled. We have a legislation out there that, and especially there's a House bill and whatnot that deals with raising the cap on the annual property tax that can be imposed. And the voters told us years ago through an initiative, Johnny, that don't raise our property taxes more than 1%, you know, per session or time period. And here we are undoing that. In other words, the voters told us what to do, but we have a real or a tax, property tax, that will blow open this. That will somewhat be unlimited, and tripling. Of course, it'll triple, and then it will continue to go up. And when taxes get to that kind of point, Johnny, I thought it was our responsibility to put it in front of the people for a vote. So I'm deeply not impressed with the legislation this year to raise property taxes at such a high amount. And then you put two and two together. If you limit rent. What a landlord can charge, and yet you have an open sky end on property taxes. How is this going to work? Did anybody ever think that if property taxes come so high and they go to everybody that has property, including landlords, what do they do with that with their renters? And if you cannot pass those costs on fairly enough, or equitably, we know what will happen. Those that own rental houses, especially the moms and pops operations, they will sell, Johnny. And when they sell, they'll most likely sell to single-family residents, and you lose more housing inventory. In inventory, you don't gain any. That's a depressing equation, but I do believe it's mathematically truthful.
You know, I was looking at some of the bills that you were a sponsor of, and, you know, a lot of great bills here, and it's like they just – nobody wants to hear them. I mean, you would get to introduce them, but it was like, oh, no, sorry, we got our own stuff going on here.
Yeah, you know, it's a legislator, you know, we're hired through your vote to serve you. And so, despite the challenges that face, you know, you've got to take the attitude of don't give up. Of course, I was deeply upset that a lot of my, I thought were pretty awesome housing bills that were sent over to the House, but in the House, they received a funeral. Not a revitalization onto the governor or their floor. So, for example, I had a mall opportunity restructuring bill, Senate Bill 5749. It would have allowed underutilized properties such as vacant malls or portions of vacant malls and areas like that, excuse me, to redevelop into housing opportunities. And it had a fast track on your comprehensive plans that would get red tape out of the way. And only one testifier, only one, Johnny, testified against that bill, an environmental group. And that alone killed the bill. Pass the Senate unanimously, roll out, get ready to build everybody and provide new housing opportunities quickly. And one group, only one, with one negative testimony, gets to kill that bill. And that's where it hurts. But, you know, Johnny, I can tell you the bad news, but the good news is I'm still here. I have wonderful team and staff, and we will not quit. We will bring that bill back next year. And I think we'll just have to be a little bit more blunt on quit serving special interest groups here in Olympia. And do what's right for people, not those special interest groups.
Do you remember the name of the group that was the opposition, the only opposition?
Actually, yeah, I'm not going to say it. It is, okay. Of course, on tape. It's on TVW. It existed. It's in public testimony. God bless public meetings, Johnny, because
right.
they preserve what happened. I tell a story based on I was there, first person. And the party that came in negative on it, they can easily be identified. And, you know, I'm not saying they're a good or a bad group. I'm saying right. that their influential deal killed a bill. And the bill was beneficial to so many people, so many of your listeners, Johnny, in the Grays Harbor area. I mean, there are properties all around Aberdeen and Hoquiam and those areas that, well, they're vacant. They're already somewhat developed on buildings that may be there. This bill would have been a chance to reinvigorate that and to do something else with it besides collect moss and dust and dirt. How about some houses? How about some condos, townhouses, single-family homes, apartments, anything to help ease the housing crisis? And it's amazing. This really comes down to, I believe, arguments over one or two catch basins that people were so concerned about polluting and killing the environment. Nobody's going to do that anymore, Johnny. I think fear still sells here in Olympia, and I'm going to go definitely on your radio and say influence is even more dangerous here when special interest groups can put down bills left and right.
Hey, speaking of you know, public meetings, didn't they like vote to keep the public out of like budget hearings? Or can you clear that up for me?
Well, yes, Johnny, because I was there. It's one of those times I hope to block out of my memory someday because it hurts. When we concur on budgets here in the Senate, we're going to send a team through concurrence to kind of work out the differences between the House operating budget and the Senate operating budget. And I saw a little bit of a strategic, let's say, politicking on the Senate floor here recently where it was broke down to the point that the final negotiations under conference for that budget is going to be done in secret. In other words, there will be two Democrats and one Republican that will negotiate the differences. And, Johnny, for the first time that I can recall, nobody gets to be there. Nobody gets to watch it. Nobody gets to sit in the audience. And I thought that was incredibly disrespectful. I know it's not transparent. And you have to ask yourself, why did they go to such efforts to do that? I thought we're supposed to be Mr. and Mrs. Public here, and that your business, business of the people, is supposed to be done publicly. And in this case, I believe it was incredibly disrespectful, as I said before, that they got away with it. But they did. It came down to a party line vote. I'll tell you right now, of course I voted against that, Johnny. Your listeners should know that we have nothing to hide, and we need to do our work in front of our bosses, which are everyday people in the public.
All right. I have some text messages and emails coming in here. We're going to go over those coming up on Local Matters. All right. We're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson. And if you have any questions, you can email or text message johnny@jodecia.com. Oh, I forgot that one. Let's see. Hold on. I got him here. We need better legislation about how and what Child Protective Services and Adult Protective Services could do to actually help vulnerable population members. What say you?
Well, you can't disagree with that, Johnny, and thank you for your listener to contact you on that. Anybody that is that kind of in a vulnerable status, I do believe the state should always try to step in when proper. But we do create large bureaucracies, and so there's always room to reform and to improve what a state agency does that would be providing services and care for those that are vulnerable. And we're talking disabled people. We're talking elderly people. There are so much of our population, and they do need to be served effectively and efficiently by state agencies. And believe me, there's lots of room for improvement there. So thank you for the listener to mention that. I concur.
All right. I asked this question just on the air to listeners a day or so ago, and maybe you can clear this up. With all the taxes that I'm paying, what am I getting? What am I getting from my tax dollars right now that the state is providing for me?
Well, the first thing that you're getting is less of your own money. I mean, let's face it, when we tax you or we try to tax our way out of a problem, it's not taken out on the Bank of Olympia. It's taken out on every day and every people of Washington State. And that comes down to the big battles that we're having here in Olympia this year. They're proposing the highest and most tax increases in the history of the state of Washington are on the table right now, and that money doesn't come from money trees. It comes from people, Johnny, and we both know it. So what you get out of it, that's a fair question, and I wish I had a really intelligent answer for it. The first smart remark I said was, well, you get less money of your own money,
right?
And that's a fact.
Right.
But what we have to do is, are we truly getting effective and efficient services out of an increased tax? I mean, I think it's a fair question to say, if you raise taxes for a really, really good purpose, you know, does it make you feel better or can you justify it? Well, that's on a case-by-case example. But this year, there is no case-by-case. It is a tsunami, a tidal wave of tax increases. Like we mentioned, the potential to increase your property taxes somewhat indefinitely and other taxes and fees that we propose to take out on people. And I'll offer enough. It's been very clear. I'm going to vote no against all these. My constituents that hired me to be here, they don't have endless supplies of money to feed their government. So we better choose very wisely here in Olympia and realize that every time we may have a good idea of something that makes us feel good, that doesn't necessarily still justify it to take it out of everyday purses and wallets of people that live and work here in Washington. We need to be very careful because we're in a mess. But how did we get here? Well, it's all our fault, Johnny. We spent years leading up to this fiscal mess, and I'm going to tell your listeners, this senator is sorry. I am sorry we've done this, but that doesn't make it right or wrong. I'm here to tell you, this year we need to vote accordingly, and I'm not looking very optimistic, Johnny, as far as how much money the government's going to be coming to take from each and every one of you soon.
You know, it'd be one thing if our roads were awesome and our schools, you know, the structures were, you know, amazing, and you know, like we have some amazing school buildings, but you know, like I don't know if you've heard, but like our schools in some of Grace Harbor are deteriorating. They need to be replaced or outdated. And it'd be one thing if like those, all those were great, great, willing to pay for it. But I mean, our roads are crap too. And anyway, I'm got to get off
that's
my soapbox.
Okay. I mean, if the truth is a little bit depressing, that's something we just have to deal with, Johnny, and I'm here to tell you you're right. We just passed another transportation package that will take another 6 cents per gallon on gasoline. It will go up. Now, the House's version, that was just the Senate's, the House version goes up to 9 cents per gallon. And every one of your listeners needs to know, well, it's a great question. Will that fill that pothole? Will it replace that bridge? And I'm going to tell you, no. Most likely, it's barely to hang on some of the projects that we already have. I recognize that the cost of doing business has gone way up here in this state. But, again, we're going to have to pick and choose our priorities here in order to keep us alive, I guess. And, Johnny, you hit it right on the schools, levies and whatnot. Do you think that they're going to have higher chances of passing now if we increase your property taxes? And we increase all kinds of other costs, I think that that has a chilling effect on some of the work that we still need to do, and that's, get our schools into decent shape. Again, it's all about priorities here in Olympia, Johnny.
Right, but, you know, the governor will fast-track gender surgeries for kids, but, hey, forget about the schools. I got another text. When is Grace Harbor going to get an inpatient mental health hospital?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't really seen the specifics of a proposal on it. I've been very clear on the record. We need a lot more of those type facilities throughout the state. It would take care of, that's another form of our vulnerable society that we need to take care of. But we didn't get much, that was not focused on this year. I think it's relevant. I think we should have that discussion, but we certainly didn't get there.
All right, got another question. Can we make legislation to stop paying all taxes when people retire?
Wouldn't that be nice? You know, Johnny, those retirees, most retirees, usually are considered in the group of elders or senior citizens. And to me, if you're a senior citizen, that's going to qualify you for the most lived experiences that anybody can get. In other words, if you're on Earth long enough and longer than others and become that senior, where's the respect for the people that have worked their whole lives, get into their forever homes and retire, and then we attack them without relief on increased taxes and burdens that really put somebody that's supposed to be enjoying the golden years of their life, the dream of retirement? It's really becoming something for people to be concerned about here in Washington State. And I do believe that we should be focusing on the elders more because they deserve it, Johnny. They've lived longer than a lot of us, and we should support that till the end of the last days rather than potentially give the microphone to a 13-year-old that will lecture us on the world and her opinion compared to somebody that's been on Earth in their 70s, 80s, and 90s here in the earth we call Grays Harbor.
Right. 4 minutes till. If you'd like a question to the senator, you can email or text johnny@jodesha.com. Another text. What legislation is going to support the silver wave that is crashing on social services that are not capable of helping them due to slipping through the cracks of the social services capabilities allowed by laws?
Well, when we make that a priority and come to realize that it matters a little bit more, I guess, they're right. The silver services, they need supportive services, but they also need the ability, as I mentioned just moments ago, to survive. You can't taxing people that are on fixed incomes and that continues to go up. It puts them in a funnel headed in the wrong direction. So, we faced a lot of issues here in the state, from rampant drug addiction and use, and we've been soft on crime and soft on drugs, and a lot of this requires a lot of attention and money. And what about the silver age group of people? And I made it very clear, it's time that we respect our elders a little bit more and recognize that each and every one of us, Johnny, including you and me, my friend, if we live long enough, we'll become a senior and we'll have that lived experience. Why can't we get a bigger voice here in Olympia? I will be one of those voices.
are we demanding too much from our government, like to do so much, like too much for us?
Not necessarily. The government is like a chia pet. You keep adding water and demands on it, it will grow. Washington State's government has grown so much. It's the biggest chia pet I've ever known. We're talking budgets that are approaching to be double. When I started as a senator, we had an operating budget of 40-some billion dollars. Oh, my heavens, Johnny. Now we're at the case where we're getting close to doubling that. We have become way too reliant on that. The government cannot fix all of our problems, and I've been very clear to your listeners, Johnny, very clear. You certainly can't tax your way out of problems. So we do need to say no once in a while and pick our priorities a little better. I think that'll make a Washington State. But we're going to end here, in about 16 days, Johnny, when we go home for sine die. I hope that we can leave on something less injurious to our communities, but I have the hint of a special session as well.
How is it going to end this year?
Well, who knows? Right about now, there's a lot of lining up. All sides have drawn their lines in their sand. But I think the most interesting to watch, Johnny, and it's not a fun watching, but I would say it's going to be between the majority party, which controls Olympia, the Democrats, and the governor, our newly elected governor, who has drawn some lines in the sand. God bless him for doing that. Rather than just roll over and rubber stamp. So I think that there's a number of issues that our governor and the controlling party here in Olympia, they're going to have to resolve some differences. And I don't think we're going to be able to do that by what we call sine die, which is due here on April 27th. There's always a mechanism that they will not concur or agree, and that'll call us back for what's known as a special session. I'm predicting that. I don't want to be right or wrong, but I just hope, regardless, the outcome provides a better path for Washington and gives it an effective government instead of the direction we're at right here today, Johnny.
Well, we are out of time. I appreciate the time you have given us, Senator, and I can't wait to get some more updates from you here in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Johnny, and thank you to your listeners. Enjoy this beautiful day.